1943 to Ethiopia. In the first instance, I served in the first secondary school as vice principal, then went on into the Ethiopian Air Force for the duration, then back into secondary education, and later on into administration, where I served in a position which would be equivalent here to deputy minister.
You actually fought on the side of Ethiopia during the war?
Well, no, not exactly in that way. We were instrumental in setting up the first training...
Responsible for the education of the emperor's children?
Well, I was responsible for the placing of students in foreign universities, many of whom came to Canada. We also were responsible for setting up some of the schools in Ethiopia, and thus a number of the royal family, as well as many hundreds of other Ethiopians, came into our hands, yes.
You must have, during your time in Ethiopia, got to know the emperor very well.
Well, the emperor retained, up until just recently, the post of Minister of Education. He had a vice minister who actually carried on the day-to-day administration, but the emperor reserved the office for himself. And consequently, for at least 6 years, he was my direct boss, so to speak. I had a telephone line to his palace, to his office as well, and we were in constant connection with him, not only in regard to developing education, but to many foreign assignments that I was sent on during these years.
During my brief meeting with him, I found him to be a very human sort of person.
This trip has been a real privilege for me because I have eaten my meals with him on the Royal Train, and I have spent at least 3-4 hours in consultation about world issues, about the Canadian scene, and about the developing situation in Ethiopia. And so I could only agree with you entirely that he is truly one of the great statesmen of the world.
I remember back in 1936 when he appeared before the League of Nations. I was quite young at that time, but I remember shedding more than one tear for the emperor.
I too was very interested in that time, and I suppose when the opportunity came to go to Ethiopia that this was part of the background of it, because you will recall that the Japanese had invaded China at the same time. And I can recall as a high school student and then later as a young teacher my own concern about the Japanese invasion of China and the fascist invasion of Ethiopia.
Despite the emperor's efforts to promote education and modernize the country, there were genuine grievances in Ethiopia. In December 1960, during the absence of the emperor in Brazil, a coup d'etat was attempted by senior officers of the Imperial Guard and a group of young administrators. Addis Ababa was seized, and the crown prince was proclaimed emperor. The rebellion was crushed by the loyal regular army, who released the crown prince, and millions of Ethiopians recalled the emperor's words when he was forced to flee from the fascist hordes 31 years ago. "I will reorganize and fight again." Haile Selassie returned from Brazil, and order was quickly restored. The rebel general was hanged in the public marketplace. The crown prince escaped punishment, as the moderates maintained that he acted under duress.
Will your son succeed you on the throne, Your Imperial Majesty?
Why you ask me this? If he can't inherit my throne, why I say her apparent throne of Ethiopia?
Succession to the throne in Ethiopia is inherited as to family, but not necessarily as to individual. The strongest or most astute prince of the family succeeds to the imperial crown. Succession is now limited to one of the royal line of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. The emperor has been delegating his ceremonial duties increasingly to his eldest son and heir, Crown Prince Aspawasan, who has recently been playing a more important role in public life. The strengthening of the crown prince's position is a vital element in Ethiopia's future stability.
Your Imperial Majesty, I'd like to talk about the form of government in Ethiopia.
The form of government we have in Ethiopia is essentially what we have inherited from our forefathers. We have nearly established the constitution in order to give it a legal and a firm basis. In order to have a firm democratic basis, you must have education on a wider scale. For that purpose, we have seen to it that educational facilities are expanded throughout the country. We based ourselves on certain fundamental democratic ideologies. These have been practiced by our forefathers. We gave legal sanction to it And this, in the broad aspect, is the general framework of the Ethiopian governmental institution. What the people of Ethiopia need now is to get as much foreign aid as possible, so that the developmental process of the country will be quickened. And once we achieve this, we are going to be in a position to make, with other countries, maximum contribution to the maintenance of international peace and security.
Is there a parliament in Ethiopia, Your Imperial Majesty?
Since I gave the constitution, we have the parliament with all power. We gave the power useful for the parliament.
Would the parliament be very much like the one we have here in Canada, with elected members from all over the country?
We have two chambers in our parliament. One is the Senate, whose members are appointed by the government. The other is the lower house, or House of Representatives, whose members are elected directly by the people. These two bodies work in cooperation, and together they constitute the Parliament of Ethiopia.
There are millions of Christians throughout the world, Your Imperial Majesty, who regard you as the reincarnation of Jesus Christ.
I had heard of that idea. I also met certain Rastafarians. I told them clearly that I am a man, that I am mortal, and that I will be replaced by the oncoming generation, and that they should never make a mistake in assuming or pretending that the human being is emanated from a deity.
But despite this clear declaration, millions of Ethiopians still believe that he is the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Others at least proclaim him the defender of their faith and the symbol of their power. They always sing to him songs of praise.
The son of Ras Makonnen, Haile Selassie, is astute. Ethiopia is very happy. Be her confessor. Oh, Haile Selassie, sanctity becomes you.
Could we come down now, Your Imperial Majesty, to things more worldly, and we'll talk about, first of all, your little dog. How long has the dog been with
him?
5 years. 5 years. Do you ever have any trouble taking him from country to country?
No, any trouble. He is very intelligent dog.
He's your eternal companion.
Yes.
Do you have any other pets?
I have in my palace many lions, dogs, other animals also. Generally, I like very much the animals.
The Lion of Judah keeps 26 lions. The emperor's lions are like enormous pet dogs, the way they lie around the palaces of Ethiopia. Two of his lions roam free in the imperial grounds. One is reputed to travel in its own jeep.
I believe coffee is the principal export of Ethiopia.
Yes, we have coffee. We can't say the name of coffee also comes from Ethiopia.
It's the Longberry Mocha, I believe it's.
We have the quality of mocha and other quality of.
The Ethiopian economy is primarily agricultural and pastoral. Coffee is the most important cash crop, which provides an annual export value of about 300 million Ethiopian dollars. In fact, Ethiopia is the home of coffee. The tree was found in the Ethiopian province of Kaffa, from which it took its name. Coffee now grows mainly in the Walaga, Kaffa, and Sidamo districts in the southwest, and Harar in the east. The next most important exports are hides and skins.
Is there an attempt made in your country to expand other types of industry?
Industry is developed in our country, but we do not find the rate of growth fully satisfactory. And I'm confident that we'll quicken the pace of industrial development.
In 1964, Ethiopia acquired the new status symbol of developing nations, television.
Is television a factor in your country?
Yes, in our capital in Addis Ababa, we have television. It's quite educational.
You don't import American or Canadian programs. It's mostly an educational network, is it?
Information minister, he can tell you in the time.
He would bring the programs from the United States, from England, and also show Canadian pictures that are supplied to us by the embassy, and also conduct live programs. Now our live program is 50%.
I would like to now pass the microphone to Mr. Thompson. I'm sure there are many things about the country that are still missing from our interview, so if I could pass this to you, Mr. Thompson, and let you take up any of the gaps that I've missed.
I wonder, Your Imperial Majesty, if you could tell us what you consider to be the most important assistance that we could give to you as you become an ever-increasing important nation in the world.
I would like to discuss this topic after I see the Prime Minister of Canada, and then I'll be free to discuss this matter. I have prepared a list of the kind of assistance that is required from the Canadian government, and I will have the opportunity of submitting it to the Prime Minister of Canada.
Another aspect of Ethiopia we have not talked about is the fact that in Addis Ababa is located the United Nations of Africa, the Organization of African Unity, the beautiful Africa Hall. Likewise, there is located in Addis Ababa the United Nations Technical Assistance Program for Africa. The role of Ethiopia in bringing Africa into her own has been led by Your Imperial Majesty. Would you care to comment on the importance of the OAU in Africa, Your Imperial Majesty?
Africa, ፊትም ቢሆን አፍሪካውያኖች የምንተሳሰብን
The people of Africa had closer sentiments to each other, even before they were free. I remember when our country fell a victim to fascist aggressors, we got the sympathy of Africans everywhere. But at that time, since the African people were not free, they were not in a position to manifest in concrete fashion their sympathy and their detest for fascist aggression. However, now that the African people are free, they wanted to get together for the purpose of widening the sphere of cooperation among them. And in this respect, Ethiopia is proud in being the site at which the Organization of African Unity has been established and where the headquarters of the organization has been housed. Africans are brothers. We have the same goal. We cherish the same ideas. Our problems are problems of development, problems of increasing cooperation. And as such, we shall forever march together to fulfill our aspirations as Africans. I also believe that when African people get closer and expand the sphere of their mutual cooperation, then Africa as a continent will be in a position to have a significant voice in the international affairs which affect the question of peace and war.
Your Imperial Majesty, last year Canada finally opened an embassy in Addis Ababa. Will Ethiopia be opening an embassy in Ottawa in the near future?
Canada and Ethiopia had concluded an agreement about the establishment of diplomatic relations. I am glad to see that Canada has fulfilled her part of the promise and established an embassy in Addis Ababa. We are also in the process of doing that. And when I arrive in Ottawa, I'll be in a position to explain to the Prime Minister of Canada about our determination to establish an embassy in Canada as soon as circumstances permit.
Your Majesty, on behalf of fellow Canadians, we are delighted that you are in our country. In the past several days, you've had an opportunity to travel almost from one coast to the other. You're just coming to the end of that trip now. Do you have an impression of Canada?
I was happy and highly impressed by what I saw in Canada. I saw the genuine sentiment of the people, the affection that they have entertained for our people. It was a happy occasion for me to see that. And I'm really delighted